You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Stage Door Podcast, the podcast celebrating theatre and creativity, from onstage mishaps to career-defining moments.
Hosted by thespians myself, Tori, and co-host Eliza, fortnightly we will bring you industry professional guests, deep dives, and more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Stage Door Podcast. Today, we are joined by the star of Big Yikes, Juliet Milne. But before we get started, we would like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay respects to the traditional custodians past and present and strive to continue in the tradition of Australia's first storytellers. We acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Always was, always will be. Before we jump into today's introductions, I will let you know very sadly that Tori is unfortunately not feeling well and can't join us for today's episode. But nonetheless, today we're here to talk all things Big Yikes with the lead of the recent Brisbane season, Juliet. Juliet pursued the spotlight from an early age, where her passions drove her to complete a Diploma of Music Theatre with Stage School Australia before undertaking the Bachelor of Musical Theatre at the Queensland Academy of Excellence in Musical Theatre. Her QAEMT credits include Lenora in Crybaby the Musical, Babe Williams in The Pajama Game, Mrs. Fleming in Heather's the Musical, and Ensemble in Grease. Juliet is thrilled to be making her professional debut in Big Yikes. Please welcome to the mic, Juliet.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. This is crazy. This is a bit of a worlds colliding moment for us.
You seem like really familiar.
Have we been in all of your CV together? No. I don't know.
Did you do the Bachelor of Musical Theatre at the Queensland Academy of Excellence in Musical Theatre class of 2023?
Of course, we didn't just go to the same university at all.
You're a complete and total stranger. It's very cool. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you for being on. This is so exciting. You just made your professional debut. You've just finished too.
Yeah, I know. I just finished on Saturday.
How are you feeling?
Good. Yeah, not gonna lie. I thought that, like, definitely the post-show blues have, like, hit me. And, like, the first day or so afterwards, I was, like, looking through my camera roll at all the photos and being all like, oh, it's over. But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm definitely very sad that it's over and I've had the best time. But I'm also really excited for what's coming next. Yeah, this show is definitely made me excited for more acting and more projects. So, yeah, I'm keen to whatever happens. More to come, baby. Back on the, like, audition grind and having to get a job and all those fun things.
Yes, back to the muggle jobs.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
I guess for those kind of joining your journey for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about how you discovered your passion for performing?
Yeah, for sure. So I did, like, dance classes as a little five-year-old, as I feel like a lot of people do. And I was like, this is fun. I really like being on the stage. But I wasn't like, just dance is my thing. I was like, I want to try different types of performing. And so I joined a musical theatre group and started doing my school musicals when I was like 11 or 12. And I was like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. And I just, like, kept doing it since then. And, you know, came time for me to work out what I was doing after high school. And I just, I auditioned for musical theatre schools and got in. So that's good.
Because you went to another place before, so you finished high school and then you ended up going to, what was it called again?
I didn't get into any of the schools that I wanted straight out of high school, so I went and did a Diploma of Musical Theatre at Stage School Australia in Melbourne.
It's actually, you know what's funny? I think so many people think that it's so, especially I know that when I was in high school, I thought it was the straight and narrow, like you finish high school, you get into your musical theatre degree. It actually takes most people quite a few tries to get in.
Yeah, literally. I, like, most people I've spoken to And the majority of our year level got in after like several tries. I think there were only like, what, like 3 or 4 people in our whole year of 23 people who got in straight out of high school. So yeah, like, yeah. Oh my God, it's so common. And like, I was waitlisted for uni and I like just got in second round. So like, dude, if you don't get in first time, you are so fine.
Yeah, keep trying.
Yeah, that's the main for sure. Thing. Literally.
And I guess now you literally finished university and have now made your professional debut, which I'm so proud of you, by the way. This is just wild.
It is a bit wild, isn't it? I definitely, like, was not... I don't want to say I wasn't, like, expecting, because, like, I was hoping for it, but I was like... Oh yeah, it's gonna take me like a bit to like get there, but it happened very quickly, which is very cool. I'm very grateful for it. So yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
I know, it's so, and I was talking about this the other day when we went out to dinner with a few friends from our year.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because people just have like an opportunity will just fall into your lap that you're perfect for. And you just don't know what your trajectory is. It could take you a year. It could take you 6 months. And you never know. And you've fallen on this incredible opportunity, which is big yikes.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
Can you tell us a little bit about the show first so that the audience can kind of know more about the story?
Yeah, for sure. So Big Yikes is about this 18-year-old, freshly 18-year-old Loxie. And she's just graduated high school. And she is navigating post-high school relationships, and she's navigating work and moving out of home and figuring out what she wants to do for uni. And all over the course of the show, it's her kind of figuring out and coming to terms with the fact that she doesn't know what she wants to do yet, and that's okay, and she'll figure it out in her own time.
It's so beautiful.
It's a really gorgeous play.
The response to this show has been amazing. Oh my goodness.
It's so cool. I know, and I've had like so many people like say to me that it's a really like it really resonated with them and that it was a really important thing to talk about, and I thought it was so beautiful that so many people were like feeling the feels, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome when you do like a piece of theater that really makes an impact
literally
on the audience.
I know, and like I feel like I don't know, like I love MT shows with all my heart, but like some you just like in the last couple of musical theater shows I've done, I've just kind of played like the wacky side character that like comes on and like does a silly song and then leaves. So it's been very cool to do a show that like resonates so much with me and that like I get to show this beautiful character arc and yeah, it's very cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
And I guess on that note, what we were talking about before, about, you know, finishing uni and then landing this role, what was the audition process like for Big Yikes? Because it was a little bit different for you in terms of getting the audition and then, I guess, what was it like getting the audition and then actually doing the auditions?
Yeah, for sure. So I just got an email one day from my uni email saying, hey, the director of this show is interested in seeing you for an audition for this upcoming thing. Just like get back to us and we'll figure it out. And I was like, okay, cool. So I read through the material and came in for the audition and I had a really wonderful experience and did a couple of the scenes. And yeah, it was a really great audition. I didn't actually do a callback. They called me the next day and were literally like, you've got it. I was like, oh, damn, that was fast. I mean, I'll take it.
I didn't know that.
I don't think I told you that. It was very fast.
No.
No, it was insane.
They just knew. They knew.
So apparently, for those of you who don't know, our uni put out like a yearbook at the end of the year with all the graduating students that has like our bio and like links to our showreels and things. And they went through the yearbook and was just like looking for someone to like match the vibe of their show. And they told me they knew it was me because in my showreel, I roller skate onto my first scene of the showreel is me roller skating on. And then they saw that and they were like, that's the one. They were like, yeah.
That is actually amazing.
I know. And like, so random, but like
just from roller skating, just, they were like, yes,
yeah. Well, that was like the first thing in my show. I like roller skate on, and then I'm like, this is my showreel. And then they were like, yeah. But then I think they watched the rest and were like, hopefully liked my stuff.
I mean, it's really different to, it's very exciting to not only get a leading role in a play, but also in a new play. So what was it like doing the rehearsal process and also creating a brand new character, considering it's also your professional debut at the same time?
Yeah. Ooh. Lot to unpack there.
Loaded question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll try and remember all the points. It was very cool. Like, doing musical theatre, like, basically all the time, unless you're lucky enough to do a new Australian musical, which are, like, few and far between, a lot of the time you're not getting to originate roles, and you do kind of have to follow the blueprint of what someone's done before you, especially if it's a commercial show and it literally has to be, like, you stand here, you walk to there, like, so it was very cool, and I found that I had, you know, like virtually like unlimited creative freedom to create the character, which was incredible. And yeah, I found the process was a little bit different than I think what I'd done before in musical theatre. A lot of the time I'd like sit down and have a brainstorm about, you know, like how my character would talk and walk and yada yada. But I feel like because this character is quite similar to me in a lot of ways, and a lot of it I think was quite instinctual. So I kind of just looked at the script and was just like, well, how would I respond to this if I was in these given circumstances, and just kind of went from there. So yeah, it was very cool.
That's quite different for you too, because your process is usually like very
character-y.
Yeah, and you're very detail oriented in terms of, you really go through, and you would have with this, but you really have those specific characterizations.
It's weird because I was thinking that, and I was like worried that that would mean that it wasn't as fully fleshed out a character or something. But I found that like throughout the rehearsal process, it all just kind of like dropped into place, and like I felt at least that there was a lovely like meeting of myself and the character, and they blended really well, I hope. But yeah, that was very fun, and it was really cool because I got to like put little pieces of myself in the character, because like I rocked up to the audition with like butterfly clips in to keep my fringe out of the way, and then they were like, we like that, we're putting that in. And then another day I rocked up with like my docs and my glasses on, because I was like trying to save my contact lenses for the show, because I was like running out, and then they were like, oh yeah, can you wear your glasses for the show and your docs? I was like, yeah, I can do that. So it's just so fun, like those things that like in the show, because they're me things, which I think is really, really cool.
And also because you got it filmed too, so it's almost like it lives on, like Loxie lives on, and your portrayal is the first one that people then associate with the script. You actually have a checklist, which you were trying to get me to do, and now I feel like I really want to do one. Can you explain it?
I have like a bucket list of like theater things I want to accomplish, and some of them are really stupid, but like what was on here that I ticked off? Getting to originate a character. Well, I mean, being in a professional show is the obvious one. Getting to originate a character, and then there are like some really like arbitrary silly ones that I got to tick off as well, like having a tearaway costume and having a mic in my hair. I just thought they were fun, but yeah, I got to tick those off my theatre bucket list, which is
really
cool.
Who doesn't feel like a badass when you've got one of those mics? You're like, I'm a real pro. No, now
literally, I was like, so this is what it's like at the top, huh?
It's too good.
Thank you. And wearing a tearaway costume, I think that's the highlight of my life today. It was
what did
fun.
It tear away into?
So it was in the first scene. We started the show with like a little montage of Loxie like going through all these rites of passage, like turning 18, having a birthday cake, doing a shot, graduating high school, blah blah blah. And I start the show in like just like a school uniform. And then when I graduate, it gets torn off me, and then I'm just in my like regular costume, and it's so cool. I'm a bit obsessed with it.
This was your Heather Duke moment.
It was my Heather Duke moment. Yeah. I know Miss Fleming didn't get to have a fun costume change. She wore the same thing the whole show. So this is making up for it.
Well, on that lovely note, we're actually going to move into a little bit of a game.
Okay.
So I was racking my brain about what game we could do for two. So we're actually just going to do a rapid fire question round.
Okay.
So first question, movie you like to quote the most?
Easy A. I watched it the other night.
Easy A.
It's an underrated teen movie. It's fantastic. Is there an olive here? I've got a whole jar of them in the fridge. Like, it's such a good movie, and the parents are so funny. Everyone is so quotable. It's a 10 out of 10 teen movie. I love it.
Biggest celebrity crush?
You know, I was gonna say Renee Rapp, because I'm obsessed with that woman. I'm obsessed, but I have a new one as of like a few days ago. You will see when you look on Instagram next. I just posted about it on my private story.
Okay.
I would literally die for Chapel Rowan. I love her. She's so cool. Have you heard of her?
No. Who's Chapel Rowan?
You need to check her out. She's a pop star that one of my castmates from Big Yikes introduced me to. Shout out to Billy. Hey. But she is just makes the most like gorgeous, like sparkly, campy, queer pop, and it's amazing, and she is a goddess, and I'm obsessed with her.
I love this. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to have to check it out. Best role you've played?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like maybe this is just because I just did it and the memories are real fresh, but I really did love playing Loxie in Big Yikes. I think that probably tied with Lenora in Crybaby, because I had so much fun doing that. It was just, it was batshit crazy, and I was here for it. It was so good. It was so funny. Yeah, cooked. And I got to do it with one of my dear friends from uni, Soph Gullick. We just had the best time.
It was so fun. Favorite hobby?
Ooh, I'm going to go with a classic and say reading. I do love reading. The other day, it was like, I also posted about this on my private story. I can't have a thought to myself. Apparently I have to share it with the entire internet. But I was like reading, and it was like rainy outside, and I was like, tucked up in bed. It was just sensational. So
what are you reading?
I'm reading the Percy Jackson books right now, which one of my best friends convinced me to start after we watched the TV show together. So I'm loving them.
And then my last one, which is kind of cute. What is your biggest Big Yikes moment?
Let me pull it up out of my notes app.
You have a full list. I love this.
I have a list. Okay. Getting run over by my roommate's car. Getting scammed out of $2,000. When I accidentally went viral on TikTok without realizing it, because some random man filmed me on the beach asking me out. And I was like, no, mate, I'm gay. I'm not into you. And then didn't think anything of it. And then 6 months later, it comes up on my TikTok with like 50,000 likes. And I'm like, what is this? So yeah, that definitely qualifies for a Big Yikes moment.
Oh my God. Well, that concludes our rapid fire questions. That was brilliant.
Thank you,
Jules. Kind of, I guess, flipping back into things a little bit, you have mostly done musical theatre your whole career so far, and now you've started your career doing a play, which is very different. And although we kind of do it at uni, we didn't really do a lot of that at university.
Mm.
So what have you found the differences between acting, straight acting, and musical theatre?
So straight acting I found to be a little bit less structured than musical theatre in a way, because with musical theatre you have to, like, there's a lot more moving parts with like choreography, and there's often like a lot more people on stage, and you have to follow what you've been told by like the musical director and everything. So like there's a little bit more freedom I find in acting. I mean, obviously you can't like go off the rails and do something completely different, but I found that like if you keep like your blocking, obviously, and your internal monologue and your intentions the same, if things like manifest slightly differently from performance to performance, you can kind of do that a little bit more with acting. And, you know, it doesn't have to be so much of like a well-oiled machine that MT is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I understand that. I get what you mean. And it's a little bit more, I think sometimes with musical theatre you have to stick to so much like structure in terms of music. Like music dictates. And then they try and fit a little bit of dialogue, because they have to put so much story into a shorter time frame.
Yeah.
So the director usually has like a lot of input, I guess, into how that goes. But then sometimes not. Depends.
Yeah. Depends. Yeah, it does. But yeah, literally, when we did musicals at uni, like we'd get really, really specific notes and we'd have to be like exactly the same every single time, you know?
But this is different because it's brand new.
Yeah.
So you really get to play even more.
Yeah, which is so cool. I mean, they definitely, like, we still did the same thing that we've done, like, in the first day of rehearsals. We sit down and have, like, a meeting and they go, this is what the vision is, this is what the stage is going to look like, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, it definitely, we had a lot more freedom and there are so many things that have changed so much throughout the rehearsal process. Like, we were, like, changing the script, like, every other day. We were like, let's change that line. Yeah, so that was really cool. And, you know, if something, because I feel like maybe if something isn't working in a script that you obviously can't change, well, like, you can't do anything about it. You just have to, like, make it work or, like, shoehorn things in. But, like, with this, you're like, oh, yeah. I think this line would work better. Let's just do that. So that was really cool.
That is actually so true because most of the time you're just then trying to interpret the line differently because you can't change the script. But this, you can actually change it.
Yeah, literally. It was very cool. Like, I don't know about you, but I feel like I've had some scripts in musical theatre before where I've read it and I've gone, that makes no sense. I have no idea how to, like, make that make sense, but you just have to just like do the best you can.
And I guess like this show has been a really monumental moment, I guess, in your development as a person and a creative. What have you learned the most about yourself as a performer and person after doing the show?
I had a little bit of a moment after I graduated uni at the end of last year where I was just feeling like really exhausted and really burnt out, and I was like, I love performing so much, but I'm so tired. And yeah, doing this show and being lucky enough to be in it has definitely like reignited and reminded me of how much I love performing and like reignited the joy and the passion I have for it, which is so, so cool. And it's gotten me excited. So it's definitely, yeah, changed me as a person because it's made me more optimistic and excited about, you know, my future as an actor. Yeah, it's definitely proven to me that I'm capable of more than I thought I was, because if you don't know anything about the show, it's 90 minutes and my character is on the whole time. So like, I don't get to leave the stage, which is a lot. So I was in the first week of rehearsals that the director told me that, and I was like, oh, I'm like not going to be able to do this. Like, I am going to fail so miserably. And then getting to a place where I felt really confident in it and going, why did I sell myself short? You know, like, I'm capable of so much more than I thought I was, which is very cool.
It's actually really interesting because I think it's safe to say that a lot of people after we graduated felt that way.
Yeah.
I know I did.
Yeah.
I felt that way. I talked to quite a few people who felt the same way because there's so much build up to finishing your degree and so much build up to starting your career. There's a lot of pressure to hit the ground running. And when it doesn't happen necessarily immediately, you beat yourself up really, really bad over it. And you feel like you're behind or you're not doing enough, or because you go from 9 to 5 every day to then a completely different life where you're working or you're waiting, and those feelings become a lot bigger because before you didn't have to worry about them and now it becomes so much more. So it is so true, because I think you do forget sometimes when you first finish. I feel like a lot of people forgot how good they were and how much and how capable they were
literally
of doing things.
I know, and I see like all of these super talented people beating themselves up about it, because I feel like a lot of the time you finish drama school and you go, well, if I don't immediately make it, whatever making it is, because that's completely arbitrary and it depends on the person, then you think that you're a failure. And that's absolutely not the truth at all. Like, there are people who've graduated in year levels before us who it's taken them a few years to book their first show. And like, it's okay to take a break or to take a step back and regroup and then go back into it. You know, I had a little moment after I finished uni where I was like, I don't even want to like think about it. I need to like take a sec for myself and then step back into it. And thank God I did that, because I feel like it's so easy to get so burnt out and so disheartened. And yeah, you got to remember that you're going at your own pace and you're not competing with anybody, and you're not behind, you know, you're doing okay.
And also that the opportunities lie in so many different places.
Yeah, well,
because
literally,
I don't think you could have said that you were gonna, you know, be in a play.
No, it literally came like way out of left field. I didn't think, like, I had no idea what my trajectory would be out of uni, but like, this is so much cooler than what I thought it would be. Like, and I'm so glad that I have gotten this opportunity to do such a cool and unique thing. You can't possibly predict what will happen, but that is so exciting, and it means that there are going to be so many amazing things that you would never have dreamed of that you're going to be able to get to do, which is very cool.
I couldn't agree more.
Facts.
Facts, facts, facts,
yeah,
facts.
Yeah.
If anyone needed to hear that. We're all in the same boat.
Woo!
We're all in this together.
Yeah, baby.
Now, I feel like I'm asking this because I know that we had some deep chats about this.
Indeed.
And I just thought it was really profound, because I was sitting flabbergasted at how you felt this way about the next question.
Oh.
Because I know you to be just so fabulous. But in terms of, I know you were feeling the imposter syndrome a lot when you first started this show. Do you have any advice for performers who are feeling that sense of imposter syndrome when starting something new and something so different and outside their comfort zone?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like in a weird way, imposter syndrome, it's a good sign, because it means that you're doing new and challenging and scary things. You know, if you were completely sure that you could nail it every single time, that means that what you're doing isn't challenging enough and isn't, you can do more. Does that make sense?
I agree. I don't know, stepping into something new and scary, you do feel like an imposter. You're like, oh, do I belong here? Especially, I know, like, because you were stepping in such a different world as well.
Oh, dude.
Was that kind of really scary for you, jumping into that whole new space that you've never even, you didn't really train for that in a way. You did, but like, different.
I was terrified. Like, I was shitting myself. The entire first week of rehearsals, I thought I was going to be fired. Because here I am with, like, seriously, I'm not even kidding. But like, here I was with all of these other actors who'd done 3-year like straight acting courses. And here I was from like my musical theater course, where we did like 2 hours of acting classes a week, and I was like, I'm not prepared for this. So yeah, I was so scared. But you know, as I started to get more into rehearsals and keep doing it, I was like, oh, okay, like, I actually can do this. It wasn't just like a fluke that I got it. Like, I'm here for a reason, you know.
Completely.
Yeah.
I felt like you really warmed into it as you went. Like, you really, it was so nice to hear your little updates of how you were going throughout the start of the process, because I think it's normal to feel that way. And I think that's more what we're getting at, is that it's normal to feel that sense of imposter syndrome, but you don't have to stay there. Like, it doesn't stay for very long.
No. Yeah, literally. And like, I also heard someone else say this thing, I don't know if people would find this helpful, but like, even if you are a quote unquote imposter and you've like faked your way in, that means that you're good enough to fake it, so you're fine either way. You're golden. Don't stress. If you're good enough to fake it, you're good enough to do it.
Exactly. Fake it till you make it.
Literally. Yeah. I know. I like what I walked in on like the first day of rehearsals, and here is everyone doing their like professional actor warm-ups. Like, you just like get into it.
That was unfortunately our last question for today. But before we go, we do have a segment called Bedtime Stories, where we talk about stage mishaps. So have you got a bedtime story for us today?
I don't have anything that's like super duper wild. I feel like we've all had the classic like costume coming undone on stage and then having to like alter the choreography to stop it from falling off, because that's definitely happened to me in an end of year gala. I was wearing this like god awful like Ames blazer. It's disgusting. Like pinned with safety pins, and I was doing like big star choreography, and then it like popped open, and so I had to like hold and like stop my boobs from showing with one hand and like do the choreography with the other hand. So that's a bedtime story for you.
You know what, nip slips are the worst.
They're the worst.
Thank you so much for that bedtime story. That was absolutely amazing. For those listening, can you give yourself and Big Yikes a bit of a plug? Where can we find more about both yourself and Big Yikes?
Yeah, so Big Yikes, unfortunately, the season has ended. However, you can still purchase the play if you just, I'm pretty sure, just search up Playlab Big Yikes and then it'll take you to that. And it may or may not, it has been recorded, but I'm not sure if it's going to be released. But if it is, I will probably post something about it. But
but
you can find me on Instagram at Juliet_Milne, and like I've been saying for ages that I'm gonna have a website, but it hasn't happened yet, so Instagram it is.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I had the best time.
Lots of love. But until next time, guys, stay happy, healthy, and safe, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.